Hello everybody and welcome to another edition of News to Drink To. We've got a couple of reviews for you today, including new Indiana Jones and The Flash, as well as some other Hollywood news. Before we go on, don't forget to subscribe and like and share and comment and do all that stuff. Thank you. Okay, so first up, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Rubbish name, by the way. Dial of Destiny. I'm not into it. I saw this yesterday in the cinema, and in anticipation of this, I rewatched the previous four Indiana Jones films. And at the end, I'll be telling you where this ranks in those five movies. The first thing to say about this movie is that it is 2.5 hours long, not something I was expecting. And usually it's something I kind of dread if I'm going to the cinema, like, oh, 2.5 hours. But it didn't feel like 2.5 hours. It doesn't drag, so that's a bonus. Now, I'd seen a couple of reviews of this before going in, but apart from that, I'd not even watched the trailer. The reviews seem to be kind of mixed. However, personally, it was, for me, it was okay. It was fine. Nothing wrong with it. It was alright. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. The opening prologue of the film, which goes on for about 30 minutes, features a young Harrison Ford, but not a young Harrison Ford. They've used this de-aging technology on him, which in the past I've always said, I hate. I'm not a fan of it. And when this showed up in the cinema and I saw what was going on, I instantly went, oh no. That being said, as far as de-aging technology goes, I think this is the best I've ever seen it. I'm still not a big fan of it. But this is as good as it can get. So I suppose it gets a pass. Now, as well as Harrison Ford, this film also stars Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And given that Harrison Ford is 80 years old, I was expecting that Indy's character in this movie would be maybe taking a little bit of a backseat and be more of a Henry Jones Sr. character in this film. But no, that's not the case. Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones is very much involved in all of the action throughout this movie. And I have to say, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who I've not seen anything before, I found her really entertaining. Her character's a lot of fun, and she was great in this. And Harrison Ford is, he's fine. He's just doing his thing still. However, Mads Mikkelsen, I feel like he was kind of wasted as the villain in this. He didn't really get any juicy bits, any juicy lines. He's just kind of a generic, I am evil Nazi guy. Kind of a waste, I think, for an actor of his caliber. But the action sequences are good. The plot is kind of ridiculous, but it's Indiana Jones. All the plots of these movies are pretty ridiculous. However, in the third act of the film, it gets, like, really ridiculous. No spoilers here, though. But yes, like I said, I did watch the previous four movies leading up to this, and I would say that this one is, oof, it's not as bad as Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It's not as good as The Last Crusade or Raiders of Lost Ark. Kind of, is it better than, I have issues with Temple of Doom. Temple of Doom's unwatchable in parts, mainly due to Kate Capshaw's performance just screaming on screen for minutes at a time. Personally, my favourite of all these movies is The Last Crusade with Sean Connery, then Raiders of the Lost Ark, then I'd go with this, Dial of Destiny, then Temple of Doom, and then Crystal Skull, which I don't think is as bad as people remember. Yes, it is stupid in parts, really stupid in parts, but there's a lot of Indiana Jones is kind of stupid. The plots are ridiculous. I'd say give it another chance. I don't know. You're not going to, like, watch it and think, oh my god, I was totally wrong. This film is one of the best. But maybe not as bad as you think, or as you remember. But overall, Dial of Destiny, yeah, it's fine. It's okay. It's a pretty decent entry into this franchise. I don't think it warrants a 2.5 hour runtime, but it's just kind of fun and stupid. Now, next up, we have a review of The Flash, the much anticipated, by some, The Flash. Now, I have not seen this because I don't want to pay to see this, but Mr. Smith has, and he sent over this review, which we're going to watch now. I haven't seen this yet. Why is it 3.5 minutes long? Oh my word, what's he doing? All right, here is Mr. Smith's review of The Flash.
All right, everyone, this is Lee, Mr. Smith, Lee, whatever you want to call me, reporting live from my living room. So, yeah, I went to see The Flash the other day. Now, it's no secret that I'm not a fan of most of the DCEU output and stuff, but there has been some jewels in there. I'm not sure if this is really one of them. There's a lot to like, but there's a lot to not like. For instance, Ezra Miller as a protagonist, is not great. It's difficult to get past all the stuff we know about him, the stuff that Finn and I have reported on before, but also he's just annoying. He's really irritating. And then at one point there's two of him and they're both annoying. So you know, he does get a couple of funny jokes in it, and there's a couple of really well executed jokes and stuff. But then, like, for the most part, you don't like him. Obviously, the highlight for me personally was Michael Keaton back as Batman and Bruce Wayne. He's fantastic and an absolute joy every time he's on the screen. Like every single line and everything he does is fantastic. And it was amazing to see him back in the Batsuit. Sasha Cow as Supergirl is great.
How long is he on screen for?
I mean, she's incredibly underused, really. In terms of the plot, I don't know if anybody is a comic book fan, if anybody's read Flashpoint, this is basically Flashpoint, but with a lot of the good bits taken out. It's like the very bare bones of Flashpoint. And the things that made that particular story arc in the comics really interesting just aren't there. That's a down point. It's just a very, very simple retelling of that story. The thing everybody's talked about already, the CGI. It's bad. It's really bad. From the first minute
Once he's done this, I'll show you a video of a guy that worked on the CGI on The Flash, explaining why it sucks. But anyway.
Miller, Barry Allen, whatever, is running. Like, it's this weird hand movement. It's really strange. And it looks awful. It just gets worse from there. Literally every time there's CGI, it looks terrible. And there's like a load, I don't think it's any secret, but spoilers. If you don't want to listen to this bit, then don't. And it's not massive spoilers. There's a load of, like, it's a multiverse story, so there's a load of cameos thrown in. I was looking forward to seeing some of them, but they're all rendered in CGI, and they all look terrible. So it's not really worth it. It's a long film, I think, like a couple of hours, 2.5 hours long or something. I was fairly entertained through most of it, stuff, but it's not a film I'd ever want to watch again. Like, I'm done with it. Like, now I've seen it, it's done. So, there are things, as I said before, there are things to like, there's a lot to dislike. So, I mean, it's just one of those. Ezra Miller, for me, no. Can't stand him. Okay, thanks very much. See ya!
Why'd you have to end it like that? Thank you for that report, Mr. Smith. The little heart emoji there, just so you know it's appreciated. So this video of this guy, I'll show it to you now, who worked on the film. While I'm looking for that, just to say, I'm not going to pay to see The Flash. If it's on streaming or whatever, I'll watch it. But yeah, I kind of want to watch it just to see Michael Keaton as Batman again. That's it. Which is why I want to know, how long is he actually on screen for? Shit, I bet I can't find it now. Here we go.
If you thought The Flash had bad CGI, I can tell you why, because I worked on the movie. In the past couple of years, it seems like there's been an increase in the amount of complaints about bad CGI in superhero movies. And there's a good reason for this. I mean, well, it's not good, but you'll see what I mean. The way that VFX companies get work is that Marvel and Warner Brothers and other studios will approach VFX companies and say, hey, I have 2,000 shots that I need for this sequence. And the VFX studios will place a bid based on that quantity of shots. But here's the catch. The amount of work per shot varies dramatically. So one shot could have a wire removal. Another shot could have wire removal, smoke sim, fire sim, face replacement, green screen. Despite the difference in workload between those two shots, they both are considered just one shot each. Because of this, VFX artists are forced to work relentless hours, overtime almost every day, including weekends. In fact, I had to be the one to call artists on a Friday night to say, hey, can you work over the weekend? Which is part of the reason why I left after 3 months. But here's the kicker. If these VFX companies aren't meeting the unrealistic expectations that these studios are setting, they risk losing out on future contracts. And there's only so many studios that are making superhero movies anymore. Which means the VFX companies have to bend over backwards to hit these insane deadlines from these Hollywood studios. Then if you look at movies like Avatar that took 10 years to work on the technology just to develop the VFX that look this amazing, you might think the takeaway from the studios would be, well, if we spend more time working on the VFX, they might actually look good, right? Let me fill you in on a little secret. Movie studios don't care about good CGI. They just don't. The only thing they care about is pleasing their shareholders on the next earnings call. To them, they've managed to increase the output of superhero movies that are still making billions of dollars, and they've reduced the time it takes to make them. Studios could easily space out their projects to give these super talented and hardworking artists more time to work on the film, but that's just not in the best interest of the shareholders. Instead, they increase the pressure on these artists to deliver faster and faster results. No pun intended. When you're putting out this many projects with shorter turnarounds, the VFX will always look worse. So if it looks like a VFX shot in The Flash was made in a week, it's probably because it was.
So there you go. It's exploitation. Movie studios treating human beings like garbage. Okay, just some other news we've got going on then. Friday the 13th, the TV show which is coming out, it's named Crystal Lake. Not a lot of details have come out so far, but we do have a poster for it, and it looks like this. I don't know. It's not doing anything for me, so, alright. James Gunn has also announced he's recast Superman and Lois Lane, and broken the hearts of every Henry Cavill fanboy all over the world. David Corenswet is the man who will be replacing Henry Cavill. He looks a bit like Henry Cavill. I have not seen him in anything, so I have nothing to say on this, to be perfectly honest. I shall simply wait and see how it is. But yes, he does look, some people have just said, like dollar store Henry Cavill. And Rachel Brosnahan. I don't know how you pronounce it. She's been cast as Lois Lane. Again, I've not seen her in anything. The reaction online has, maybe it's just the stuff I've seen, has not been as sort of toxic and there hasn't been as much uproar as I thought there would be, if I'm being perfectly honest. But maybe I'm just looking at the wrong channels. A lot of people I see seem to think, yeah, you know what? Not a bad choice at all. Looking forward to it. But, you know, we know they're out there. Oh shit, something I completely forgot to mention about The Flash. It's doing terrible at the box office. So it wasn't doing great numbers. There's an article here I've just found. It says, The Flash has finally passed its production budget at the global box office. As it approaches its third week in theatres, The Flash has finally exceeded its reported production budget at the worldwide box office. That's its production budget. That's the amount of money they spent to make the movie, which is estimated to be about $200 million. That does not include advertising, distribution, you know, marketing, and all that stuff. And I mean, it would seem that they spent more on advertising and marketing for this than the average movie would, because obviously because of the Ezra Miller incidents, they needed to push this hard. So if this thing has made its production budget back, that doesn't mean it's made any money. That still means it's lost money. The rule of thumb was always, you take the budget of the movie and you double it, and that's how much a film needs to take in order to be a success, in order to make profit. Now, if I have spent $200 million just making this thing, shit, that's another $200 million on distribution, advertising, and all that stuff. So this thing needs to make a minimum of $400 million at the box office in order to turn a profit. According to IMDb, so far worldwide gross has been $218 million. That's not... So they've only made $18 million off of the production budget. That is a big-ass failure. David Zaslav, CEO of Warner Brothers Discovery, you stupid prick.
Eating my way through Faneuil Hall with friends...
Guy so obsessed with just making money that he fires a bunch of people and cancels a load of projects that people are interested in, because it's all just about making money. But he still sticks with The Flash and it loses fucking money. This is the guy that dumped the upcoming Batman animated show, The Caped Crusader, which everyone's looking forward to because Bruce Timm was behind it. But it was behind Batman the animated series, the most critically acclaimed version. On-screen version of Batman around, apart from maybe The Dark Knight. He binned that off. That's now going to be on Amazon, apparently. He also cancelled the Batgirl film, which was like 90 to 95% complete. And they just went, no, write it off. And I'm not saying that Batgirl would have been a fantastic film or even a good film, but I guarantee you it would have made money because it starred Brendan Fraser, and people love that guy. People will go out their way to support Brendan Fraser, and Batgirl probably would have been released around about the same time as the Whale hype train. Money in the bank. Anyway, enough of David Zaslav and his bullshit. I think we're nearly done here. We've got any celebrities that have died? As Alan Arkin has sadly passed away at the age of 89. He was a fantastic actor. I think I loved him in pretty much everything I saw him in, from Argo, Little Miss Sunshine, even in Edward Scissorhands, The Rocketeer. of course, Catch 22. He had a very long career, brilliant actor. And he was also in a Netflix show called The Kominsky Method, which I highly recommend. It's on Netflix. It also stars Michael Douglas. There's three seasons of it. Honestly, I wouldn't bother with the third one because Alan Arkin isn't in it, and he was the best thing about the show. Although, maybe it's a little unfair to Michael Douglas. He's also great in that show. But yeah, The Kominsky Method, highly recommend it. All right, I think that's about it for this edition of News to Drink To. Don't forget to subscribe and all that stuff, like I said at the beginning. Did I already say it? I always forget. I don't know. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you're well. And I'll see you later.